All right, we will begin tonight. Good to see everybody, and hope everybody's been having a good week so far this week, and been kind of on the cooler side. First comes the yellow, and then comes the zeros. Hopefully not zeros, but anyway, on the cooler side, and had some good rain over the weekend, of course. It washed some of that pollen out, but we still got some more to be washed away. And but anyway, it is good to be here Wednesday night Bible study right here at Calvary, and just want to say that it's spring break week, and so all the young people are out of school, and a lot of them are off with their families tonight and doing different things. And I tell you what, I heard a report this morning on the news about how dangerous Panama City Beach is right now. They said, the news person said, parents beware. If you send your kids down here, we're not playing no games, they will go to jail. And I mean, you got to come get them and everything else.
Stepping in, and of course, law enforcement all around the world. about a year ago, I heard the Martin girls do this, Charlie and Gracie. And I'm going to have y'all do this tonight. This is just a good praise song. Like us to learn it. And so let's everybody stand. Let's sing nice and loud. Here I am to worship.
He's altogether lovely tonight. Isn't Jesus worthy of our praise? He is. Thank you, Brother Jeff. The Lord Jesus is altogether lovely. What a blessing it is again to be here. And we may be through tonight a bit early, but if not, that's fine too. We come here for one reason, and that is to plug in spiritually. And I don't know about you, but my spiritual battery is a little low, Brother Don. And so I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. And I tell you, we all need prayer. We all need it. We all need each other, don't we? And I tell you, you know, it's okay watching online and viewing the services, but it's altogether different in person. It just is. And we're able to share our burdens in person. We're able to pray for one another in person. It's just altogether different. But I am thankful for the avenue we have of Facebook. We have several watching tonight. But somebody said that watching church services on Facebook is like watching a fire on your TV, like a fire in your fireplace. It you know, you just really don't feel it like you would a real fire. But anyway, we're not knocking that. We appreciate everybody watching. Just so good to be here. So thankful I can mingle with real people. And anyway. All right, well, if you have your Bibles tonight, please make your way to Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter number 30, one of my favorite chapters in the book of Proverbs, is Proverbs chapter number 30. And in just a moment, we're going to read some familiar verses. This is not my first time in these verses. The Lord has laid these verses on my heart for tonight, but we're going to look into verse number 24 down through 28 in just a moment. You know, I've been thinking about animals and insects lately. I had a big old long stuffed animal snake that I left at home. I was going to bring it, lay it across the banister here as I talk tonight. But maybe it's a good thing I left it, because I may have gotten worked up and snapped it in half. You never know. But anyway, you know, we've been talking about animals lately in church. This past Sunday morning, we emphasized the raven a good bit. When we talked about God sending Elijah by the brook Cherith and how he commanded the ravens to feed him there. Sunday night, we even got into talking about the little foxes and how they spoil the vines. And, you know, it being springtime and all, just thinking about all the bugs that we have out there crawling around and flying around. I go to check the mail, and we've got bumblebees or carpenter bees, whatever. And, you know, I found out over time, I'm not sure if they can sting you. They probably can. I don't know, but I don't fear them anymore, because this is like our sixth year living in our house where we're at now, and every spring they never sting me, they just intimidate. So, but that's what spring is, all kinds of creatures and critters coming out. They got the big old dragonfly mosquitoes, them things are just ugly. And so a lot of these things or out and about. But if we ever take the time to watch them, they're certainly on a mission. They're not just buzzing around by mistake or killing time. We may think that they're brainless and spineless. Some of them are spineless. But we may think they're brainless and spineless and just crawling in circles. But according to God's Word, God's creatures are wise, and they're on a mission. They're preaching messages. This is one of my favorite lessons I've ever taught, and I just couldn't get it out of my heart in line of what we were talking about and been talking about animals. And so with that said, notice if you would in verse number 24 of Proverbs 30. The Bible says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces." We're going to stop reading there. That's reading Proverbs 30, verse number 24 down through verse number 28. The title tonight is Wise Counsel from God's Little Creatures. Wise Counsel from God's Little Creatures. And there's four creatures here that are mentioned that carry a message. They offer up counsel, if you would. The Bible does say, verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. And so what is it that we can glean from these creatures that are little, that carry big messages? Well, number one, let's look at the ants for a moment. Ants in verse number 25, he says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And so the ants, they bring the counsel of preparation. Preparation. Notice again, he says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, I want to say that they have to work, these ants, they have to work extra hard at what they do because they're not a strong people, meaning what they do, getting their food and building their little ant homes. They got to work extra hard at this because the Bible says they're just not strong. Now, because they're not strong and because they're weak, they could get discouraged and they could say, well, you know what? I'm not even going to try because I'm just not strong. What's the use in trying when you're weak? Why? You know, what good does it do to even attempt anything if we're these just little weak ants? What good is it? We're not strong. We're just going to die. So we might as well just, just live life and be discouraged. Let that turn into depression and just fall up on our backs and die. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. But these are smart creatures, ants are. They have little minds and they have a built-in compass. They know what to do. They have sense enough to know that there's coming a day where they're not going to be able to go out and get food. And so they prepare ahead of time. So these little critters here, these little creatures, they don't focus on their weaknesses, but they pivot. Notice what he says. The ants are a people not strong yet. In other words, these ants aren't stopping. Just because they're not strong doesn't mean they're throwing in the little ant towel, okay? The ants are a people not strong yet. And so we know that they understand their own weaknesses. And so they pivot. What do they pivot to do? What do? Because they're weak, they prepare. They prepare. The ants are people not strong. They don't get discouraged. They don't quit. They don't give up. Yet they pivot and they just have to work a little extra harder at what they do to make things happen. And so they work in the summertime and they gather their food. They build their nests even, their granaries, because they know that winter is coming. So how can I relate that to you and I? Well, there's many ways that we can apply this to our lives, but I'll just say this. Let us not focus on our weaknesses, but pivot and use our time building up our spiritual man. At least in one sense, we can gather that listen, we're needy creatures too. We are weak people. We are a product of the fall. We have a sin nature. It doesn't take much for the devil to lure us away and get our mind off of God. And so what do we do? Do we just get discouraged and depressed and give up and say there's no chance, there's no hope with us? Today we live, tomorrow we die, and we just belly up and give up? No. And so what can we gather from these little ants? We can gather the message of and the counsel of preparation. We are weak, yet we are strong. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. You see, one of the big turning points in Paul's life when he experienced that thorn in the flesh is when he realized, he asked God at least three times for thorn removal. Lord, please take it. God, please take it. Lord, and the Bible says he besought the Lord thrice, at least three times. We don't know if it was in the same day or over the period of 3 years. We don't know. It was probably once in a while. He would, God, please take this thorn, and then he would continue living his life to see if anything would change. God, please take this thorn, and he would continue. God, please take this thorn, and he would continue. Then finally the Lord says, Paul, I'm not going to take that thorn, but I will give you grace to carry on and to carry it. And so Paul, he learned whatsoever state that he was in to be content. Whether he had a lot, be content. Whether he had a little, be content. Whether he had health, be content. Whether he was sick, be content. How could he be content no matter what happened in life? Simply because the Lord would give grace. Now, my message tonight to you and I, applying to this first point about the ants, we too are not a strong people. So let us prepare ourselves spiritually for the long days of spiritual winter. So we need the Lord tonight. We can lean on Him. We can tap into His reservoir. We can build ourselves up. Jude chapter number 1 and verse number 20. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just give it to you quickly. Jude verse number 20, there's only one chapter. He says in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We've got to build ourselves up in Jesus. We've got to feed that spiritual man. We're weak, you know, we stray. We're sheep that stray, and so therefore we need to build ourselves up like these ants. They didn't give up, they pivoted. And so tonight, I'm guessing the reason why you're here, number one, you didn't give up on life. You're here, and so you're pivoting. You're hoping to get something from the message and from the fellowship. You're wanting to build yourself up, and that's what Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting is all about. It's about coming together around God's Word and asking God to lift His words from His page to our hearts and to help us understand and apply it to our lives. So, we see here that the ants, the Bible says, verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. There's all kinds of applications you can make, but that's one of the ones I wanted to make. You know, hard times are coming for all of us. Some people are experiencing hard times now. And so let us not wait when hard times come to prepare, but let us prepare ourselves now for hard times when they do come. Have a church home. Have a close church family. Pray regular. Read your Bible regular. None of us are perfect, but yet strive for perfection, because if Jesus is on the inside of us, that's our new desire, is righteousness. Let me just say this, and we'll move on. The ant is patient. The ant is persistent. The ant is focused. And so let us be patient. Let us be persistent. Let us stay focused. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever wondered that God may be preparing you now for a different season later. I mean, right now may not make sense to you or me. It may not. And if we see that the ants are an insect that prepares, and this is in the Bible for us to glean, and they carry messages, maybe God is preparing you and I right now for with something we're going through, whether good or bad, for something down the road. These ants were preparing for winter, now in summer. God may be preparing you right now in your spiritual summer because there's coming a spiritual winter. Just a thought. Have you ever wondered? God may be preparing you now for a different season later. So I say with that, learn all you can as I try to learn all I can. So let us prepare. Let us prepare our minds. Let us prepare our hearts to seek the Lord and live for Him the best we can. So as we look at this topic this evening of wise counsel from God's little creatures, we see the ants. They bring the counsel of preparation. Now notice if you would in verse number 26. There's the conies. Verse 26, the Bible says, the conies are but a feeble folk. Yet make they their houses in the rocks. The coney brings the counsel of protection. Protection. Now, these conies, they're also known as a rock badger. Some say they're a mix between a mouse and a rabbit. But at any rate, it is some kind of animal that's larger than an ant. Okay, it's a rock badger, it's a coney, it's some kind of mixed breed between that of a mouse or rabbit. Some say it's some kind of bunny. A preacher preached one time out of these verses on Bugs and Bunny, Bugs Bunny. Kind of funny, huh? Now these conies, the Bible says that they're feeble. They don't have strength or speed, especially to stand against a large predator. Therefore, they find their defense in the rocks. The Bible says the conies are but a feeble folk. And there's that word yet make they their houses in the rocks. And so they find their defense in the rocks. Speaking of Panama City Beach earlier, we try to make a yearly trip there. And we go to St. Andrews State Park. Anybody ever been there, St. Andrews State Park? I know Jeff and Sharon has. But they've got these rocks. They've got these slabs of concrete going out the jetties. And if you walk up on the beach right beside the jetties, I don't advise this. I've seen some children do this, and it's not really the wise thing to do, but there's some raccoons that live in those rocks. And they actually come walking out, okay, crawling out, what have you, and their hands are out. They're wanting food. They're so used to be given food, they actually literally stick their hands out. Their little human hands. You ever seen a raccoon's hands? Them things are about scary, aren't they? Little human hands. They're wanting food, but they stay in those rocks. It's a kind of protection from the elements and a place to live and a place to sleep, a place to be at ease. You already know where this application's going. Jesus is our refuge. He's our rock. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so tonight, let us find refuge in the rock, Jesus. I want to read to you briefly Matthew 7. You could turn there or follow along but on the screen. But Matthew 7, 24 and 25, familiar verses here. But we're speaking of rocks and Jesus. Matthew 7 and verse number 24, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. How about that? Talking about building on a firm foundation. And of course, it gets into the other foundation here of sand, and just the wind will come through, and you know, big strong wind, a hurricane will come through, and well, a hurricane will blow a lot of homes over, even on foundations. But here the sand is uncertain; it shifts. But with that true foundation, the Bible describes here, verse 24, 25, it is a sure foundation, steadfast. Let the rains come, the house ain't going to blow down. Let the winds blow, the house isn't going to move. You know, let all of these elements come, and it will not beat the house up because it is on the foundation. Or it will not destroy the house because it's on the rock. You already know. Let us continue to serve the Lord. There's nothing new I can say tonight that you don't already know. Let us continue to lean on Him and abide in Him and yield to Him the best we can and be kind to others and speak of Jesus and do all of those things. Take in God's Word and give God's Word out and pray for others and all of those things. We are constructing a house, a spiritual habitation upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. The strongest part of a house is that corner point. And so, as we're looking at these conies back in our verses in Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 26, they carry a message of protection. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. I want to say this as well as that about these, about the rock, about Jesus getting shelter in Him. We also can find refuge among some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can also find refuge among the strong. Don't turn there, but I'll give it to you. Romans 15:1, it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." So there we have it. Yes, number one, we find refuge in Jesus, but on the same token, tangibly speaking, we're here for one another. Pray to Jesus, ask Him to guide us and direct us and help us. In the meantime, let us connect and let us help each other. It says, "We then that are strong, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." And so we have the conies tonight, and they bring the counsel of protection. Let me mention a third one. Verse number 27, we have the locust. And again tonight, we're talking about wise counsel from God's little creatures. Verse 27 says this, "The locusts have no king, yet..." The word "yet," a lot of pivoting taking place in these verses. "The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands." Another word for bands is rank or ranks. It's a cute thought, thinking that they're all in a band, you know. My mind, I tell you, goes everywhere. "The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands." Okay, ranks. The locust brings the counsel of power. Of power, all right? Now, the locust here, the Bible's telling us they don't have any kind of leadership or structure. I tell you, when I first think of this, I can't help to think of a church without a pastor. I mean, that's my first thought. It goes to a church not having a pastor or that leadership in place, and it's very detrimental over a long period of time for a church to go without a pastor. It just is. You know, new routines are developed and people discouragement and lack of morale, things like that. And so that's my first thought here. It can be very detrimental. But on the other side of that, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. What can we gather from that? They don't have no king. They don't have no leader. They don't have no structure. Yet they do have wisdom, and it's seen in power. It says they go forth by all of them by bands. By bands. Now, let me say this. The individual locust would lose a fight if it was by itself. If some type of predator on, a little higher on a food chain came up, that individual locust would lose its fight. But if there's at least another locust or another locust joined in together, they would win that fight against that predator. You see, tonight there is safety in numbers. There's safety in numbers. Not only is there safety in numbers, but there's strength in numbers. Saying that about a church without a pastor, I've known churches who have been without a pastor a while, but they were so unified, and they were so together in the process. They had strength. They had safety. They guarded the deacon board and the membership. Listen, they guarded the church and its membership. The teamwork that they had, like the old saying goes, teamwork makes the dream work. But at the end of the day, there is strength in numbers, safety in numbers. That's one reason why I still believe that the Lord doesn't want us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But so much the more. And listen, we're to come together and exhort one another. And as we see the day approaching, the return of Jesus, we ought to come together more and more and more. Why? Because there's encouragement here, exhorting one another, but also there is strength in numbers. We ought to come together, not forsake. There's safety in numbers, and there's teamwork to make the dream work in numbers. You know, when we isolate, one of the easiest things to do when we're going through something is to isolate. I mean, I don't know about you, but me, I mean, I know I'm here all the time. But listen, there's just times where I just want to isolate and just, you know, just get by myself. And sometimes I do get by myself, but better than isolation is population. Better to isolate is to populate. We may not like it. We may not feel like being around nobody. But 9 times out of 10, if you go ahead and go on to church, when you don't want to, you'll leave and you'll say, I'm glad I went to church. It's just something about it. There's this barrier of flesh we got to fight through. And once we fight through it and get here, all is well. All is well. There's strength. Hopefully, by the time we leave tonight, you and I will be a little bit more stronger because we have banded together. And of course, there's safety in numbers. There's safe. This is a safe place to share your burdens, a safe place to pray, a safe place to learn about God and worship the Lord. There is safety in numbers. There is strength in numbers. And so the individual locust would lose its fight, but if it bands together, it's sure to win. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. They bring the counsel of power. This is my favorite one, the last one. Point number 4. We've talked about the ants, the conies, the locusts, but the spider. The spider. Now, there's two interpretations, not applications. You can get several applications, but interpretations of the word spider here I will get into in a moment, and there's two. But first, we're going to look right on the surface because the Bible does say spider. Who in here likes spiders? Didn't think so. What do you do when you see a spider? You what'd you say, burn it? Run, yeah, run. Well, if I see a spider and it's hanging out in a little web, I knock it down. You know, and I like to squish it, kill it, you know. But I tell you, it's kind of, after studying the Bible and reading about these insects and God's creatures, man, it's kind of hard to do that. But if it's going to be me or him, it's going to be him. You know what I'm saying? Especially a black widow. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. There's a lot to be said in that verse. Now, the spider brings the counsel of persistence. The spider is not wanted in the palaces. Those palaces are kept clean. Those who live in the palaces want it clean. They don't want no spiders there. They want every nook, every cranny inspected and de-webbed. Nothing there. But not just in the palaces, as I said, my home as well, no spiders are wanted. No spiders are wanted in your house either. So, therefore, the spider, whether in the palace or your home or mine, it gets knocked down and smashed. All right? Or like Yvonne just turns around and runs from it. Now, the thing about it is, if it lives in the palace or in your home, if it lives through the web getting knocked down or smashed even, guess what will happen? It'll spin another web. And it'll be right back there. It gives a counsel. It brings a message, the spider does, of persistence. It gets knocked down. It keeps going back. It gets knocked down, but it keeps going back. Some of you this week, possibly, or in recent times, have felt like you've been knocked down. Some financial dilemma, some family matter, something in your life has happened, and you just feel like the wind is knocked out of you. Well, the Bible says, be like the spider and take hold with your hand. The words taketh hold there. It means to seize or weld. And so basically the implication here is you keep getting knocked down and you keep getting back up. Keep doing that. But just each time make sure you've got a firmer hold. Seize that hand. Hold on to God's hand. Weld that hand to the Lord's hand. You know, come what may, you've got His hand. Now I'll say this, there's times where I feel like I'm holding on to God's hand. And there's a lot of times I feel like He's just holding on to my hand. But at any rate, the takeaway here is persistence. Persistence. The spider taketh hold with its hand and spins another web. Oh, Charlotte's Web. Y'all remember that book, Charlotte's Web? How about that? Oh, Charlotte's Web. You and I get knocked down, we get up, we go again. Life. The devil keeps knocking you down. Grab hold of God one more time and don't let go. And so this spider shows that we can do what we set our minds to, actually. Think about it. This spider is in the palace. Spiders are to live out in nature, but it's in the palace. Don't ever let someone tell you you can't achieve anything or work your way up in life. This is a message of persistence here. And through this spider just being in the palace, it sets an example to say to us that we can do what we set our mind to, what God enables us to do. A spider in the palace. I told you there was a second outlook on this spider. Some different commentators, and even if you look up the word spider in the Hebrew, it is translated lizard. Lizard. So I wanted to cover the lizard part as I've covered the spider part, because I want to be correct tonight. This spider, some say, is actually translated lizard. You can take both, and both of the applications are there. Both of the interpretations are there. It's the same idea when it comes to the lizard. Now, one commentator said that it's easy to catch the lizard. Now, when I go to Florida and I'm walking outside on the sidewalk outside of the room, there's lizards running around. It's hard to catch lizards. But anyway, for message sake and reference sake, some say it's easy to catch lizards, and so they're easily caught and they're released. They're not wanted, same as a spider, and is taken out and let go. It gives the same kind of survival message in this lizard. Not wanted, easily caught, yet it learns how to survive. That lizard is ducking and dodging. I mean, here comes the old mean house lady with the broom. And that lizard sees it and it is gone. I think about a gecko or something like that. And, you know, running up the walls, and she's smacking it, trying to kill that thing. And, I mean, it's not wanted. Not wanted. You know, it's a horrible feeling to feel not wanted or rejected, isn't it? But you know what? This world may reject you and I. Some people, even some family, may reject you and I. But God never rejects us. He always wants us. But there's times in life where we're in survival mode. We feel like we're not wanted. God doesn't let us get away with anything, and thank the Lord, because sometimes we act out of the flesh and we're easily caught. Yet through all of this, we learn how to survive. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Again, that's a wonderful place to be, is in a king's palace. But it takes work to be there. It takes persistence. It takes dedication. It takes holding on to God. Now, we're not talking about salvation. All that was settled at the cross when we accepted Jesus. But what I'm talking about is just being in the land of the living, being used of God, and experiencing God's goodness and all of that. We take hold of God's hand. We seize God's hand. We weld our hand to God's hand. And if we've been knocked down, well, let's just spin another web. If we're not wanted and we get chased off in life through circumstances or situations, why? God's just teaching us how to survive. He's just teaching us how to thrive while we're trying to survive. So the spider, it brings the counsel of persistence. And again, the locust brings the counsel of power. The coney brings the counsel of protection. And the ant brings the counsel of preparation. And tonight, with all that said, we just wanted to share those things with you concerning wise counsel from God's little creatures. And like I said, you know, when I was a little boy in my grandmother's driveway, she had so many little black ants that came out from the grass, the dirt. She kind of had like some dirt in the backyard. And I mean, I would jump on them and stomp on them. But you know what? It's hard to do that nowadays. I don't know why. It's just, I mean, you read something like that, and how are you going to step on an ant? You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just a big baby. But, I mean, they're little messengers. You know, the bumblebees flying around, they're little messengers. They all carry a message. God created them. So that's the message tonight, wise counsel from God's little creatures. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do, for what you want to do, Lord. We yield ourselves to you the best we can. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for a place to sleep tonight, food on the table. Thank you, Lord, that we know that those that are, of us that are saved, we know if we do not wake in the morning, we will wake over there in the other land that's fairer than day. God, just give us purpose. Help us stay persistent, leaning on you as we coordinate and navigate through the rest of this week. Bring us back safely on Sunday morning, and I pray for souls to be saved and lives to be encouraged, Christians to be encouraged as well. And Father, we'll just give you all the glory and give you all the credit. Thank you, Lord, for our Calvary Baptist Church family, and thank you for the family of God. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right. Well, does anybody got anything they want to add before we leave? Anything to mention before we get out of here? Almost finished on time. 5 minutes to spare. And that is fine. That is fine. All right. Well, you're dismissed. Please be safe out there. It's a crazy, 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 crazy world.